How we have to start doing. If you have authorized users, You have good credit. You got to build your family up with that. You know, you put your family members on there, authorized users. And people, for y'all that don't know, y'all have good credit cards and stuff out there. You can make, literally, especially if you're retired and you live off a pension and stuff like that, you can make good money just putting people on your card, especially if you have a good car with a good high limit and good payment history, and it's been open since the 80s and all that, and early 90s plus years. Oh, yeah, you help your family out. The ones that's working, trying to do good, they might not have good credit. Can't get nothing. It's hard like that. So, you know, you got to put them on there. You know, they can give you a couple dollars or something. They'll throw you $100, $150 or something, put you on there. But to the regular people, you can charge. They charge services for that, to put people on cards, to get their credit balanced and to help their credit go up. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you got a card that got unlimited, you can put on there. So you're getting $300 every time it earned report per person. And you got 10 people on there. You can make good money off that. So I just want y'all to know that. And that's how you piggyback your family on there. Europeans have been doing this forever. That's how you piggyback. So today, we're going into, like I said, is the prison industry slavery? So we go discuss the amendments that they made, the 13th and 14th Amendment in particular. Probably know Wudu Ali. You know, I would never have a show on the Suleiman Bey show. I'd be remiss without speaking of the Prophet Noah Wudu Ali, who came to these shores. That Allah blessed us with an avatar, a redeemer. Yahushua come again. That's what he said. Yeah, and now y'all call him Jesus in the Bible, but Jesus said, somebody's with me, he can't be against me. When his disciples told him somebody was over there casting out and whatnot in his name, like, casting out my name, he sure can't be against me. But that's people been talking. You know, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for to come back? Because he looked just like you when he came the first time, in spirit and mind and body. He went through and suffered what you suffered, seen it all. Mashiach will one come back up amongst you speaking. Is you going to know him? Is you going to recognize him? Well, you got to study the works. If you don't believe me, believe in the works I do. That's what he said. So you go study the works. So we have one come. Noah Drew Ali, Timothy Drew. So study that. Study that. Not study what's been left behind after him. Study him. Study him, then study yourself. And then when you study yourself, you'll bear witness to the truth. That's all you can do. If you just hold on to one thing and believe that one thing has it all, then you're wrong. It even say that in the Quran. If all the oceans were ink and all the trees in the world were pens, man, the words of Allah would not be exhausted. So how you think that you could have just one book contain all the world's truth and knowledge? One book can't do it. So you got to be well-rounded. You got to be unbiased. You got to be like a bee who goes to all the different hues of flowers and sucks his nectar out of there and brings forth honey, which has healing proprieties for men. Man, let those with eyes and ears hear and listen. Yeah, if insects on top of the earth are being more productive than we are as a people, they're producing and getting productive, and then commerce is being produced through them, while we doing is being consumers. You know, the bees producing honey, the ants grabbing and, you know, putting away they storing in seasons, two seasons ahead of time. While we out playing in the summer, they harvesting for the winter. They got more sense than we do. So, you know, we just got to get some balance, some equilibrium, understanding about yourself. When you understand yourself, you understand that you have energy inside of you, that you're a ball of energy, that you have chakras, seals. Yeah, you have seals, seven stand that. You got to understand who Yahushua was, you see. He is, was, and evermore will be. So that's what you have to understand. And when you understand that, then you will know that you and I am one. And you will know that when you see the Father, you see the Son. That's how that goes. So you will know how to move, and you know how to talk, and you know how to walk, and you know how to see. You know how to make people, the mute speak. You know how to make the blind see. You know how to make the deaf hear. You feel me? How to make the cripple get up and walk. That's where that comes from. So you could take it physically if you want, because that's all the possibility too. Or you could take it metaphorically, spiritually. So just understanding the balance in yourself and in the universe. Okay, so when we go into the 13th Amendment, it's good to have in your household. Y'all all right out there? We're on Blog Talk Radio, The Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. I hope y'all are all right out there. Get you something to drink. Do whatever you do. And just stay with me now. If you're at work, just keep on percolating and stay tuned in. All right, we're going to get into the law dictionary. You got to have black law in your households, men and women. You got to have your children reading law books to see what's going on. You see, because everything on top of the land, they dealing with it with law. So your Webster's Dictionary don't have nothing to do with they on Capitol Hill talking about. Your Webster's Dictionary is layman's, and your Webster's Dictionary is going to go over your head or below your feet. So either way, you in the middle, and you go get stuck with what you've been taught. So here it goes in here. We're going to go to I have the 7th edition that I use because it has the Constitution in it. And I use the Constitution and I use the Black Law in conjunction. So I'm going to go to the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which was 65, right? So if you know 1865, that was the so-called abolishment of slavery. For one thing, if a person can enslave you, and as a person can free you, then they can enslave you. So if they freed you, they ain't did nothing but re-enslave you again, which is exactly what they did. See, if you let a person enslave you, that means they have your mind, because everybody was born free. And when you know that, then you would come from up under this bondage. And that's the problem that we're having right now. Now, to understand that you was born free, who are you serving? I hear you about to pay on to Caesar, but are you in Caesar's realm? That's what you got to understand. Are you under Caesar's jurisdiction? What kind of game is Caesar playing? That's what you have to understand. And what is your role in that? Because status predicates everything in Roman societies. Yeah, when you said that's everything that the Romans control is predicated by status. Now they pull you over, they want to see that paperwork. Where you from? Where you going? And the paperwork tells it all. It tells your status of who you are. So when you're going under these black codes, and that's another thing, the black code laws of 1724, get them, folks. Google it, look it up, see it, read it, and see what's going on, and you see why the police force is so prevalent in the so-called black community. Because they're chasing down Negroes, blacks, and colored. They're chasing down Chattel. They're chasing down their property. They want to keep it in check. That's what the black code law was about, to keep us in check. Every time we bit, bop, or fart, they had a law or a code. They go hang you. They go do something to you, and they wanted us to stay in our place. That's why when you go across the tracks, the police force is not there. And for you to understand, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and if you're not an elected official, then the police that are hired are nothing more than hired mercenaries. So when you have a regular police force, that's nothing but hired mercenary. That's why they're shooting us down. And we keep saying Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives don't matter. It's Black Lives Matter to the folks who capitalize off Black Lives. Yeah, off Black Lives staying black. The people that capitalize off that's a, man, I can't even put the numbers on the trillions and trillions of dollar corporation of business that is. So this is where we got to come down out of the dumb downness. So the Amendment 13 in 1865. Now, peep game to this. Look at how this read and look at what it say and understand this. And brothers and sisters sitting in the penitentiary right now waiting on these people to pass certain laws, not understanding what's going on. Okay. Amendment 13, 1865, Section 1. Let me get my spectacles on. I can't fake like I don't need my spectacles. Let me get my Dr. Doolittle's on real quick. Turn this light up a little bit. Okay, here we go. Amendment 13, 1865, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except, they go to hook. Papa said it was a fish bite debate. If he knew the hook was in it. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2 of that same amendment says, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So now let me break this down to you if you don't understand. Let me break it down to you in layman's terms so you can understand this. So this is the year Abraham Lincoln so-called, this is the free the slaves time, right? Abolishment of slavery, okay? So it says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime. Okay, so now you got to understand what was before this. They already had the black hole laws in effect, 1724. So they already have the criminalization of everything that we do to keep us in check. So now all they did was incorporate these into the body of Congress. How you know? Because it says right here. It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. In Section 2, the most important part says, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So what that means, Congress is the new slave owners. Congress is the one that's writing the laws. So the brothers and sisters sitting in the penitentiary waiting for Congress to pass laws so they could get overturned and so they could come home and get lesser sentence, you waiting on the same people that control your black ass. And excuse my language for having to say it like that, but sometimes I have to be frank to some of my audiences listen. Okay? So that's how they looking at it. That's how they looking at it. That's my nigga right there dribbling that basketball. Just shut up and dribble. You remember they told LeBron them that? Just shut up and dribble because you know what? If I could give you $200 million to play for 10 years, how much I'm making off you? You still my boy. You still on the sharecropping, and you still can't speak out and say what you want to say, and you still got to do what I say. See, y'all don't understand what's going on, but if you was working for yourself, then the person paying you $200 million, you know you got to be making at least triple or more than that. So if you was working for yourself, look how much more you can bring in. Look how much more you can do for other people, for your extended family, your family, your extended family, doing for self and kind. You feel me? Starting your own arena. They come in to see you dribble anyway. They come in to see you and yours dribble anyway. So that's how they go. So Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So Congress passing the laws, okay, to keep you enslaved. So when you go into the prison, you got to work. You see what I'm saying? Everybody got to work. Everybody got to work. And a lot of them have industries in there that they're doing that's making millions and millions of dollars, making military stuff from tanks to putting armor on cars. Oh, yeah, they're doing all kinds of stuff in there. To all the tactic wear and pants. Yeah, doing a lot of contracts, a lot of contracts on vehicles, commercial vehicles and everything. They work in them. It's a sweat lodge, sweatshop. Yep. Some of them get paid, get compensated, but it's still not minimum wage. People breaking, people distance is getting messed out, sitting up in the sweat lodges, on them sewing machines and making stuff. It's just terrible. The conditions are bad. Yeah, people's black mold is prevalent everywhere, lead paint, asbestos, and you got to breathe this for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20, yeah, for however long this sentence is. And then you come home and you got these symptoms that look like just regular colds or something, and you sniveling and stuff, but all the time you might have mesothelioma, yeah, however you say it, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you've been exposed to asbestos and different things. So, you know, you got penitentiaries that are on the abandoned list. They're supposed to have been on a condemned list. It's been up 100 years, 80 years. The water is rusted. The pipes have got lead and stuff running through it. It's just terrible. So, but those conditions not being broadcasted, your family members are in harm, in danger. They're injecting them with stuff. The food has no substance in it. You know, I've worked in the food places. They don't have no substance in it. Some of the food is 60-30, 60-40. They've been mixed in it. They got meat in it. They mixed with stuff. Look like roadkill. Green froth on it. Yeah, it's just terrible in there. No vitamins. Everything in the can. Depleted. No substance. Then they just want to give you some vitamins or some minerals. See, they want to put the pills in you, put you on medications. It's just crazy. More psychologists in there than anything. There ain't no COs around. There's more inmates around than COs, but it's more psychologists in these institutions than COs. Why is that? Because these are institutions. Remember what they are. They're mental institutions. Everybody in there is mentally something wrong with them mentally prior to them even coming there. It shows that the majority of the people that's in the prison system, a high 85% of them, have all been victims of some kind of sexual violation in their lives, men, women, children, or whoever. So that's coming from these people. So you got to understand what you're being ushered into when you're getting criminalized. Now, when you look at the case, McGirt versus Oklahoma that was just passed in 2020, and how they had to overturn all these cases and stuff, had to be overturned for the Aboriginal people. You can't criminalize them under the same acts. It's no different. You can't criminalize them under the same acts that you put in for the United States persons, for artificial persons, for natural persons. Laws under those laws, what they're using for corporations, for United States citizens, don't apply to natural persons. And that's the moral what we get into right here. So when you go into the 14th Amendment of 1868, that's what made us citizens, Negroes, black, colored, African Americans, How do you keep changing? How many of y'all have been to Germany? Because I've never been to Germany, but all my life I ran into German Shepherds, no matter what state I've been in. In every state that I ran into a German Shepherd, I always called it a German Shepherd. I didn't call it an Alabama Shepherd. I didn't call it a Mississippi Shepherd. I didn't call it a New York Shepherd. I called it a German Shepherd. It didn't change its spots. You hear what I'm saying? So how are we keep changing? How are you a Negro, a Black, a colored, an Afro-American, an African-American? Man, none of them got to do with your bloodline, your pedigree. Who are you? That's what you're supposed to be figuring out. So the McGirt versus Oklahoma case overturned all of them criminalization, and the state said, well, what about the taxation? We're going to lose a lot of revenue in taxation. Well, you can't criminalize this. The state has the most of the state that Oklahoma been set aside for is all anyway through the treaties with the five civilized tribes. That go through all of y'all, Cherokee, Creek, Blackfoot. You could go trace all that. If you start tracing yourself and find out who you is, then you'll see all the stuff that they got on deck with that. Then you could get you a piece of this land and some royalties. And yeah, because they're taking it all out the land. It's all coming out. Get you some royalties. And yeah, 14th Amendment says all persons. This is where we have to get into our study. It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States. Remember, this 1868, this 3 years later. So 1865, so-called slavery is abolished. So instead of us going back to our right mind, our right status of who we were prior to this injustice, we stayed in the same persona. We stayed in the same image and likeness that they created for us. We stayed niggas. And we wandered for 3 years. They said, oh, man, Jim, my darn Jim, I think we got him. Shoot, man, they got to watch us. You know, he's always suspicious. They always got to watch us. You don't know when we ever get that piece of information that'll boom, turn, you know, get you back. And I don't think we're going to turn and treat them right. But the prophet said, when you get back on top, this time you got to treat the European right. That's your fellow man. So he said, it's your fellow man. Listen to the language. Okay, so section one. Of the third, 3 years later, they said they hit us with the amendment, and this is where the hook. Folks, everybody who come over here got to get citizenship, have to go through immigration and nationality for that. You can't just cross the border and run over here and talk about, oh, I'm a citizen. You see how many of our brothers and sisters they're trying to send back to Mexico, talk about, oh, they don't care if you've been born over here or whatever, if your family was, yeah. So that's how that goes. They don't care if your parents and them was born over here. You feel me? You got to go through a process. They want to get in your business, know who you is, where you from. They want to see that paperwork. Yeah, they want to see who you is, where you from, if you from a people or whatever. Because there's no such thing as a Negro. There's no such thing as a Black. It ain't no Black flag. It ain't no Negro flag. It ain't no colored flag. It ain't no African-American flag. I mean, come on, y'all. Come on. You're talking about two different continents, two Guam. One is a corporation. Africa is a corporation. And then you're talking about the continent over here, Al-Morak. It's just, come on now. That's just too much. So inside the dictionary, the Amendment 14 says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject, there go that word, subject to the jurisdiction, there go that word, thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So we keep running into the word subject and jurisdiction. It said it up front about criminalized for crime within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. This is what makes you... This is what lets them grab hold of us and kidnap our children and put us in these systems. This right here, this clause, all persons. They don't define what person is. But you and I, being uneducated, we believe what Mr. Webster say, and it's true. But when you ask a Black person, I'm going to just use that language for right now. When you ask a Moroccan, you ask a Black person what his name is, what his person, and he's going to say a human being. And that's true. The law dictionary will tell you that. That's the first person, one, a human being. Two, from Black Law Dictionary, 7th edition. Two, it says an entity such as a corporation that is recognized by law as having the rights and duties of a human being. Three, the living body of a human being. Okay, so we all understand what a person is. Of course, it's a human being. We got that first and foremost. Everybody on top of the earth to know that, right? The second part, what people don't know, is that a person is also, too, an entity, such as a corporation that is recognized by law as having the rights and duties of a human being. Okay, so when we go down further, they got a definition called artificial person, and it reads, an entity such as a corporation, created by law and given certain legal rights and duties of a human being, a being, real or imaginary, who for the purpose of legal reasoning is treated more or less as a human being, also termed fictitious person, juristic person, legal person, moral person, legal entity. Ted, that's Ted, the movie. I told y'all that. Ted the movie with the little bear, the little brown bear, Ted, yeah, the one who was shaking his wee-wee and smoking weed, talking shit, swallowing spit, as they say. That's what old Ted was doing. Yeah, he had a girlfriend, everything, till he had his day in court, and they set old Ted down and told him he was an artificial person created by law only. He was a 14th Amendment citizen. That's what 14th Amendment citizens is, y'all. That's what citizenship is. That's what that is. That's the status you are under. And if you don't believe it, I'm giving you the definitions right now that said artificial person. Okay, then we go down and we see natural person. It says a human being as distinguished from an artificial person created by law. Again, natural person. A human being, okay, we got that, as distinguished from an artificial person created by law. Okay, and this system is presumed that you are a U.S. citizen. And that presumption means that if you're a U.S. citizen, it's presumed that you're an artificial person, meaning an entity such as a corporation created by law and given certain legal rights and duties of a human being, a being, real or imaginary, who for the purpose of legal reasoning is treated more or less as a human being, also termed fictitious person. So that's why you see the Black Lives Don't Matter. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Black lives don't matter because of we keep contracting and saying that we're black. We keep giving these tags. For instance, my mother's birth certificate. My grandma and my grandpa are both labeled as Negroes on there. Papa and Nani are both written down as Negroes. So on my birth certificate, my mom is written down as black, and my dad is written down as black. Now, let's skip my dad for a minute because we have to go into what his parents' birth certificate says. But my mom's birth certificate says that both of her parents are Negroes. So how is it that my mom is black? Thank you. You just think about that for a minute. How is she black if both of her parents are Negro? She should have been Negro on here, right? But anyway, both of them are bogus. Both of them is proof of denationalization. That's what it is. It's proof of that you've been denationalized. Why were you denationalized? Why did they take your nationality? Martin Luther King, I have so much admiration and respect for Martin Luther King now, and we just think they show them images of him being water holes and they throwing bricks, and we think that, you know, that was some suckerism or something. Nah, man, that brother was gifted. Man, he seen it and he was talking it. And go back and study his speeches. He tells us the black man and woman finds himself exiled in their own land. In their own land, you find yourself exiled. So that's what we up against. And then he was telling you about how we was looking for land. We needed land, and they were giving away millions of acres to foreigners to come because passing on the wealth, because that's how you get it. What's underneath the soil is what produces, the soil produce for you. Hell, you can, if you got hundreds of thousands of acres, you don't even got to live on most of it. You can just produce on it. Yeah, you got cotton and fruits and vegetables and all kinds of stuff growing, oil and stuff under it too, and stuff you grow on top of it. It's very industrious. Yeah, the earth, man, the earth get down for you. He was showing that to us. How they was having meetings, giving away that stuff to people coming over here, and the whole time we was over here asking for land and needing our land. And we the Aboriginal people here, but you've been stripped out of that. So this shows you right here, the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment. So they say, we got to release them, y'all. Catch and release. That's what they do, catch and release. We got to release them. The world's looking, we can't keep doing it. That's what they fighting over, the North and the South. And then y'all keep running to this democracy, Republican, all this. Do y'all understand what it is? Do y'all understand what a democracy is? Do you understand that democracy is not sanctioned in the Republic? Do you understand the Republic is where we the people are? Do you understand that the law, the supreme law of the land is guaranteeing the Republican form of government? throughout the Union. Do you understand what a republic is? Because if not, that's what we're here for. I'm just enlightening you on what this is. I'm just enlightening you on what the Constitution say, because we don't pick it up for ourselves. And you must. It's imperative that you do. If you don't, then you don't understand what's going on around you. You don't understand if you're being violated, if your kids are being violated or molested by these laws, where they're stopping and frisking and doing all the things that they're doing. But when you uphold the Constitution and you make other people who were sworn an oath of affirmation to uphold the Constitution, they're the ones you're supposed to really be in, that you didn't hire, I mean, that we didn't elect it and appointed to these positions, then you got to hold them to their due diligence. If you don't do that, you'll be remiss. You will be not doing your duty. Yeah, you would not be doing your call to duty if you're not holding them to their oaths and bounds. So you got to study the Constitution. So Article 6 says, Article 6 of the United States Constitution says, all debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. So stop there. There's something going on here. They mentioning debts and engagements entered into. And they're saying that the whatever debts and engagements that was entered into before this adoption of this Constitution is valid against the United States under this Constitution, right? And that as it was under the Confederation. So now you got to go understand and go research what the Confederation was. What was this Confederation? Who did it consist of? Confederation is a group of nations or people. Who did it consist of? Ah, see, that's going to bring you to some understanding. That's going to give you some clarity of what this United States of America and all this stuff is. The United States, there's a United States, and there's United States of America. So listen, okay? So then it goes on to say, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, so this Constitution and the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. So let me break that part down to you. It says this Constitution, y'all all right out there? Man, we're on Blog Talk Radio, the morning drip of Suleiman Bey, and I just hope y'all all right and rolling with me. I hope I'm not giving you too much too fast. I'm hoping you could suck it up and absorb it. But listen, I don't even talk to the children slow. I give it to them fast, and what's for you is going to go into you, and what's not for you, you'll just, your body, you know how the body works. It'll just spit it out. Yeah, it'll regurgitate it. It'll waste. It'll come out your butt. Yeah, come out as waste. So we'll just put it that way. So you just take what's in, and later maybe it'll grow on you. I'm just planting seeds, all right? So the rest of the second part says, this Constitution, that's one thing, and the laws of the United States, that's another thing, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, okay, or which shall be made. So that means, it means whatever treaties were in effect and whichever ones they made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. It can't stand up. It ain't no good if it don't follow this. The third part says, the senators and representatives before mentioned, and the members of the several state legislators, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound or affirmation to support this Constitution. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. But quit saying this is a Christian nation. This nation don't care about no kind of God and religion. They don't care for that. The only God they have is governance ordinance departments. Yeah, that's what they run in their commerce through. Yeah, these the laws are falling. They don't care about none of that. Yeah, they don't do no religious test. That's against the Constitution. You got a religious freedom, First Amendment. That's the first and foremost. So they couldn't even do that. So you got to understand the Constitution. Shoot, they don't care about that. They care about getting into that bag, as everybody says. So look at that. They're bound by oath or affirmation to support the Constitution. So You got to go back and study the Confederation, see who it consists of. And by the way, the Confederate states are you. I'm just going to cut through the chase. Are you? You, those people, the Confederate states, the Confederate Indians or whatever, what they want to call you. That's what they was calling you. All right? So that, so you got to see the 13th and the 14th Amendment, how is it tied? That's what's tying us to slavery. Now, they had a case. Let me pull this case out right here. And I'm going to read it to you real fast because it's not real. It's not real long. And it's called, we call it the Sundry Free Moors Act. And look at the date. I want you to pay close attention to the date. You can Google this. It's from the State Records of South Carolina. If you Google the Sundry Free Moors Act, you will figure it out. It's from the journal. I'm going to read it verbatim. The State Records of South Carolina. Look at the year of this. The Journals of the House of Representatives, 1789 through 1790. Michael E. Stevens, editor. Kristen M. Allen, assistant editor. Published for the South Carolina Department of Archives and History by the University of South Carolina Press. South Carolina, 8557, copyright 1984. Okay? If you want the ISBN number, it was 087-249-9448, the 20th of January, 1790. It says, a petition was presented to the House from Sundry Free Moors, subjects of the Emperor of Morocco and residents in this state, praying that in case they should commit any fault amendable to be brought to justice, that they, as subjects to a prince in alliance with the United States of America, may be tried under the same laws as the citizens of this state would be liable to be tried, and not under the Negro Act, which was received and read. Listen to this, 1789, huh? The humble petition of Francis, Danielle, Hammond, and Samuel, free Moors, in behalf of themselves and their wives, Fatima, Flora, Sarah, and Clorinda, humbly showeth that your petitioners, some years past, had the misfortune while fighting in the defense of their country to be captured with their wives and made prisoners of war by one of the kings of Africa, that a certain Captain Clark had them delivered to him on a promise that they should be redeemed by the Emperor of Moroccan ambassador, then resided in England, in order to have them returned to their own country, instead of which he brought them to this state and sold them for slaves. Since that period, they have by the greatest industry been enabled to purchase their freedom from their respective masters. And now prayeth your honorable house, that as freeborn subjects of a prince, now in alliance with these United States, that they may not be considered as subject to a law of this state, now in force, called the Negro Law, but that they should unfortunately be guilty of any crime or misdemeanor against the laws of the land, that they may have a just trial by a lawful jury. And your petitioners, as in duty bound, will ever pray. One, order that it be referred to a committee. The following gentlemen were accordingly appointed: Mr. Justice Greenkey, General Pickney, and Mr. Edward Rutledge. Mr. Edward Rutledge reported from the committee to whom was referred the petition of the Free Moors, which he read in his place, and afterwards delivered it at the clerk's table, where it was again read for information. Ordered that it be taken into immediate consideration, which being read through was agreed to, and is as follows, viz. Report that they have considered the same, and are of opinion that no law of this state can in its construction or operation apply to them, and that persons who were subjects of the Emperor of Morocco, being free in this state, and not triable by the law for the better ordering and governing of Negroes and other slaves, resolve that this house do agree with the report. So listen, our folks in 1789 was petitioning in the courts, talking about, don't try me under the Negro black codes. So they knew they had bogus jurisprudence going on over here. Yeah, that's what it's called, bogus prudence. These fake governments and stuff going on over here. They have stolen the natural people out of power, you know, and putting in a new form of government. And where's the rest of this so I can show you the only form of government that's sanctioned by the Constitution? Let me read that part to you, because that's where I had lost my train, and I wanted to give that to you all so you could see for yourself. There's only one form of government, okay, this distinction. And it's in Article 3, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and the application and on application of this legislator or the executive when the legislator cannot be convened against domestic violence. Again, Section 4, Article 3, Section 4 says, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. Article 4, Section 4 says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. So now you got to find out what is republic. What is a republic? What is republican? A lot of people think they know, but really don't know. And we just be saying, oh, man, I ain't no republic. Oh, I'm a republic. I'm this and that. But do you know what it is? Do you understand what a republic is? Okay. Because the republic, if you got a republic in your state, you definitely do. And some of y'all got it right on your flag, it'll tell you, because you don't know nothing about it and what it means. And that's what you need to get an understanding of. And that's how you go get your protections. So, here we go. So that's what's been the drawback. That's what's been the drawback so for us for so long, you all. We just haven't understood. We wasn't taught nothing as far as Republic. We wasn't taught nothing as far as what the education system that they gave it. It wasn't even education. You can't even call it that. You can't call it education at all. Okay, Republic. Here's a Republic. Okay. Then I'm going to go into my John Bouvier's. I'm going to pull John Bouvier's out, too. Let me pull it up in Bouvier's. Redemption, Republic. Okay. Give me a second now, bear with me. See, they can't hide it from you if you know how to read. If you know how to read and you know how to go back to them old books, well, that's how they do it. They hide it in them old books. Okay, we got two definitions. We'll go from Black Law. And then we'll go into John Bouvier's, all right? And go find out what a republic is. Okay, first we're going to start with Black Law. This is from the 7th edition, okay? Republic, a system of government in which the people hold sovereign power and elect representatives who exercise that power. It contrasts, on the one hand, with a pure democracy in which the people or community as an organized whole wield sovereign power of government, and on the other with the rule of one person, such as a king, emperor, czar, or sultan. So it's in contrast to a pure democracy, which is meaning you've given up. Now listen to this. You've given up your sovereign power. So people always say, oh, they're talking that sovereign stuff. Well, listen, you in the republic. You don't understand what's going on. You won't add that. That's your freedom. Republic, a system of government in which the people hold sovereign power and elect representatives who exercise that power. That's why you have elected officials. They're supposed to represent your interests. And when they don't, you get them up out of there. Now, it contrasts, you know, it's against, it's opposite. On the one hand, with a pure democracy in which the people or community as an organized hold, wield, W-I-E-L-D. I mean, they're giving it over. When they wield, giving up the sovereign power of government. So you giving it to them. That's how that reads right there. So here it reads from now. I'm gonna read it from John Bouvier, and it's good if y'all get John Bouvier's law dictionaries, because it's a two-part one that I have. It's a law dictionary adapted to the Constitution and laws of the United States of America and of the several states of the American Union with reference to the civil and other systems of foreign law. Okay, it's a two-part. Probably costs about $300 or something it costs me, but it says, listen what it says, a law dictionary adapted to the Constitution, that's one thing, and laws of the United States of America, that's two, and of the several states of the American Union, that's three, with references to the civil and other system foreign law. Okay, because you got to understand you're dealing with foreigners. If you're aboriginal, the foreigners invaded. They colonized. Okay, so you're dealing with foreign law. You got to understand law. You got to understand law terms. Y'all don't understand that you're being occupied and conquered. You don't understand that all the forms of government is Roman government governing you. You're just going around in the system and you think you're free, but you're not. That's why I've been trying to wake you up. Okay, Republic, a common, this is from John Bouvier, Republic, a commonwealth, that form of government in which the administration of affairs is open to all the citizens. In another sense, it signifies the state independently of its form of government. See? Right. Independent. Again, a commonwealth, that form of government in which the administration of affairs is open to all the citizens. In another sense, it signifies the state, independent of its form of government. Now, listen, let's use if you're from California. If you're from California, you pledge allegiance to the flag. You pledge allegiance to a red, white, and blue flag. That same flag is in all 50 states. All 50 states have that same red, white, and blue flag. Why? It's a corporate banner. Okay. All 50 states also have their own independent state flag, which is the republic. Okay, so if you're in California, it says it right on there. It has the bear. It says California Republic. That's we the people. So when you was in school in all 50 of these states in the Union, you got to understand what they went to war for, why they made a more perfect union for, so they could just institutionalize slavery all through the 50 states through the prison system and make millions of money while polished up in their suits and ties. Okay, so that's what this is all. That's what this is all tying into. And the slavery and the bondage that we in under this citizenship that we're allowing for ourselves, okay? That's what this is all tying back to. This is all tying back to citizenship. Who are you, okay? The Dred Scott case said that you could never be a citizen. That's what we have to pull up right now. We'll pull up the Dred Scott case, and the Dred Scott case, that's all that it pertained to. It was pertaining to. Who was Dred Scott? Dred Scott said that he was free. They said, hold on. You free. You're a free Negro. That's how you petition the court. Free Negro. Pull that up right here real quick. And I see what old Dred. See what they said. I'm having trouble. Y'all having trouble starting this. Y'all don't want to boot up, huh? Nah, they don't want to boot up. We don't want to boot up when you're ready. Let's see. Dred. Scott, you know, y'all Google Dred Scott versus Sanford, S-A-N-F-O-R-D, Sanford, not Sanford, S-A-N-F-O-R-D, and click on that, Dred Scott versus Sanford. We will read through that for our final little time. Dred Scott versus Sanford, 1857. Now, look what time this is, 1857. Remember, the 13th Amendment was 1865. So look what they said about being black or free or Negro. Listen what they said. This is from the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court decision in which the court ruled that African Americans, whether enslaved or free, were not citizens of the United States and therefore did not have the right to sue in federal court. In so holding, the court also ruled that the federal government could not prohibit slavery in the territories. The decision was a prime factor leading to the Civil War, but the 14th Amendment would provide that anyone born or naturalized in the United States is a citizen of the nation and of his or her state, eventually rendered the case moot. That's what they tried to say, that the 14th Amendment made the case obsolete, but the case never been overturned in the Supreme Court, and that's why it's important for y'all to understand that and what the decision they made on this case. And see, the 14th Amendment made you a citizen, but I just explained what kind of citizen it made you. Everybody who is a 14th Amendment citizen under the Person Clause is a 14th Amendment citizen, but that person is an artificial person created by law and given rights. Ted and Ted 2, go watch the movie. That's what you are. But a natural person is not a 14th Amendment citizen. Therefore, those don't apply to him. Okay, so it said Dred Scott was an African-American man who was born a slave in the late 1700s. In 1832, Scott's owner, Emerson, took him into the Wisconsin Territory, which outlawed slavery due to various tasks. While there, Emerson allowed Scott to get married and left Scott and his wife in Wisconsin while Emerson traveled to Louisiana. Emerson died in 1843, and Scott attempted to purchase his freedom from Emerson's widow, but she refused. Cotterdy sued in federal court against Sanford, the executor of Emerson's estate, for his freedom. He argued that since he became a permanent resident in the federal territory of Wisconsin, which prohibited slavery, he became a free man. The district court applied the laws of Missouri to find Scott was still a slave, and the Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed. The Supreme Court, in a contentious opinion written by Chief Justice Taney, held that persons of African descent were not citizens of the United States. The court reasoned that at the time of the ratification of the U.S. Constitution, persons of African descent were brought to the U.S. as property, and whether later freed or not, could not become U.S. citizens. Even though many states granted citizenship to African Americans, the court distinguished state citizenship from federal citizenship and found the latter precluded to African Americans because of whom the court believed the founders meant to include in the original Constitution. Listen, that this is excluded you right there, three-fifths of all other persons. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Native Americans, on the other hand, were considered free and independent residents of North America at the time of the founding, so they could be federal citizens of the United States. As this applied to Dred Scott, he could not sue for his freedom from his time spent in the, at the time, federal territory of Wisconsin because, as the court interpreted the Constitution, African Americans could simply not become federal citizens. However, as horrifying as this opinion is for Scott, he fortunately eventually became a freeman when Emerson's widow had a change of heart after marrying an abolitionist. Yeah, so they don't care whether you're free or not, man. So they don't care whether you're free or not. They tell you whether free or not. They don't care if you were born free or a slave. You cannot be a citizen. That had never been overchanged. And they said the 14th Amendment overturned that. But I bear witness. The 14th Amendment cannot overturn that. Yeah, the 14th Amendment just can't overturn that. So that's what we got to understand, and that's what we're up against right there. So the question is, again, is the prison industry slavery? And if you can't get that conclusion and understand, they had to put on a polished coat. Listen, they fighting, they hanging us down here in the South, and then the North trying to put on the polished coat and telling them, hey, you got to do it like this. They're all the same folks. Yeah, it's all the same folks. You know what I mean? It ain't like, you know, it's somebody different. People are always like, oh, no, it's the same folks, man. It's the same folks. And that's what you just got to understand. And the North and the South, and it make no difference. Republican, Democrat, they putting on all these, you know, all this on this show and making you think there's a whole bunch going on. It's just smokescreen. Republic form of government is what you want, but that's we the people for the people. You know, for us, by us. You know, we elect you in here, and you get down how you're supposed to get down, or you get out of there. And that's how they go. So, that's what we're working on. And, that's pretty much coming to the conclusion. We at the conclusion of our show. And I wanted to read a few hadiths from the Prophet Noble Drew Ali. If y'all get a chance, go get the book called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, through Sheikh Elihu in Pleasant Bay, by LSU Pleasant Bay. It's called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. If you're unbiased and some rounded, well-rounded written books, we'll take you to a lot of different degrees. There will be a lot of different teachings on a lot of different stuff that you didn't know, which you could go study and look up. And, that's how that goes. So I wanted to read a few hadiths, a little verbal messages that the prophet left us. And we did have a prophet. We do have a prophet that came to us. You have to go study that and find out and bear witness to that for yourself. But he said, if you don't believe I'm a prophet, study my prophecies. So let me give you a few of his prophecies. He said, by you being born here doesn't make you a citizen. So as I just explained, Negroes, Blacks, and colored people are names given to slaves during the time of slavery. Those born under the powers of the 14th and 15th Amendments are not true citizens but are declared persons, commercial property under the assumable jurisdiction of U.S. Congress. The word persons that used in these amendments do not legally translate into men and women. So he also said the only way out of the fire is through the fire. So basically, the same laws that enslaved us is the same laws is gonna get us out. We got to go through the laws and understand how they use them, so we can come out of that. He said we need to have warehouses because one day the Europeans are going to let you down. Man, look what's going on, man. Almost a year ago, man, how the stores and stuff and the National Guard and stuff was around. So we got to go through that too. So he said, some of you Moors are going to throw away your name just for the morsel of bread. So a lot of people doing that. He said, the Moors were living up and down the Mississippi River before the European man came here to North America, Mexum, later to be named America. Okay? All right. So that's going to be it. It's some more. I got to take these calls coming in today. We're going to get back to it. If y'all remember to log in to the website, LegalEmpowermentGroup101.com and AlmoreConsultationLLC.com, and that's Almore, AlmoorConsultationLLC.com. ConsultationLLC.com. So hit those up, and I'll see you soon, and I look forward to checking in with you guys on the Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. Peace and love.